Welcome to the weekend and this edition of the Florida Roundtable. I'm Bill Mick. You can always catch up with me at BillMick.com. This week on the Roundtable, we'll explore the challenges that parents and other adults face as kids grow up. How do we help our kids live happy and productive lives? Both kids and parents face all kinds of challenges in our daily lives. To help us navigate them is Dr. Charles Fay, a child psychologist who, along with his co-author, Dr. Daniel Amen, penned the Raising Mentally Strong Kids book, How Do We Help Our Kids to Better Decision-Making and Lead Happy, Healthy, Productive Lives. Dr. Charles Fay helps us get there today on the Florida Roundtable from the Florida News Network. We explore it all in moments right here. Stay with us. Welcome to our weekend.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or you now need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Health Insurance Helpline can help you get it.
800-398-0651. 800-398-0651. 800-398-0651. That's 800-398-0651.
Did you and your family lose Florida Medicaid and need health coverage? Check this out. You may be eligible to enroll in a low-cost health plan at healthcare.gov. With the new law, 4 out of 5 customers can find a plan for $10 or less per month with financial help. Healthcare.gov offers quality plans that cover doctor visits, prescriptions, emergency care, and more. Healthcare.gov is here for you. Enroll today for coverage starting the first of next month. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
When was the last time you had a truly awesome nursery experience? A nursery and garden center with a huge selection and friendly expert advice. We're talking about Quality Green Specialists in DeLand. At Quality Green, we have your favorite plants, fruit trees, flowers, vegetables, and herbs. Plus, with our 8011 fertilizer, organic azomite, and composted soil, your garden will look its very best. Great plants, sustainable products, friendly expert advice. 335 West Michigan Avenue, DeLand, and online at qualitygreenspecialist.com.
Our next topic, the Florida tomato. Fruit or vegetable?
Technically a fruit. They have seeds and grow from a flower.
But like any true vegetable, they are perfect for pasta dishes and savory sauces.
But science?
Would science put a tomato in a fruit salad?
Define fruit salad.
Well, we already know what a fruit is. Fruit salad.
Well, at least we can all agree tomatoes taste best when they're grown close to home.
A fruit's a fruit. Mm-hmm.
Fresh from Florida. There's sunshine in every bite. Next up, tomato or tomato?
Tomato.
Tomato.
Back on the Florida Roundtable this weekend, and we're taking a look at making our kids happier, healthier, more reasonable human beings, I'm going to say. And Dr. Charles Fay is with us. The book is Raising Mentally Strong Kids. Dr. Fay, thanks for taking the time. I appreciate you joining us this morning.
Well, thank you. I'm honored to be here.
Let's talk a little bit and introduce you to this audience and what got you into the line of work you're in, and then subsequently, what made the book come to fruition?
Well, I got into this line of work. My father, Jim Fay, was an elementary school principal, went on to develop the love and logic approach with his good friend, Dr. Foster Klein. My father really went to battle and has been battling this whole notion of helicopter parenting. Rescuing kids from the consequences of their poor decisions, rescuing kids from the challenges they face, doing it unnecessarily, and that's just absolutely lethal for their character and mental health. So
lessons
I was
lost
so inspired,
there, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I was so inspired by my dad, and that's really how I got started. I have to give him credit.
And what's your experience been as you got started and got into your career field?
Well, I have worked in psychiatric hospitals, public schools, other mental health facilities. I've been a consultant for about 30 years worldwide, author on the subject of parenting and leadership in schools.
Well, I'm glad you're there, and we need that. I'm sure we do. Now, you got together. You had a co-author on the book, Dr. Daniel Amen. How did you guys get together, and what made the book come about?
Well, Daniel, a genius psychiatrist, neuroscientist, look into him, those of you who are listening, amazing man. But he was having a little bit of a challenge, normal challenge, with one of his own kids. And his wife picked up one of our books and started using it and was so impressed. He calls me up. He says, hey, yeah, that really changed our lives with our kids. And so we started talking and we got on the subject of the fact that kids are really in historic trouble in terms of mental health and character. We're seeing way over 50% of young people reporting that they're consistently depressed. About 24% of young girls actually admitting that they've contemplated suicide. So we're seeing that. We're seeing just a rise in aggression, oppositional, defiant behavior, ADHD type behavior. And so Dr. Amon and I got together and we said, we need to be able to combine our work to give people some hope here.
We'll explore it a little deeper later, but I would imagine this is even exacerbated in today's world where kids are constantly connected. They're constantly on their phones, texting, messaging, apps, whatever it may be.
Yeah, absolutely. It's ironic in that they're more connected than ever before, but they're all disconnected. I think we can say that as a society, we are a disconnected society. And when we are not connected to each other, or connected to a purpose of serving other people, of truly loving and respecting other people. When we lack that connection, we're in big trouble. And that's where we are right now.
Other societal factors in that, too. As busy as we are, as expensive as things are, as much as parents are chasing whatever the next dream is, a lot of things go into this.
That's right. But you know, there's good news. There really is.
Okay.
We can do some simple things that can really turn things around in our families or keep our kids on a healthy track. So parents, I want to leave you with a lot of hope. I mean, this is not all doom and gloom.
Well, and we're going to look forward to that as we continue here. Do you find one major cause that is impacting these kids more than others?
Well, there's really two. I'll say technology. We can go into that more as we go. And secondly, parents struggling with setting limits that really stick with their kids. The importance of setting and enforcing loving limits, so essential.
I can imagine. I hear it regularly from my audience about parenting being lacking. And you're going to have some tools for parents here as we talk today. That's going to be great. And we're going to start with exploring where these kids start getting into trouble. And maybe it's their parents putting them there. We find out with Dr. Charles Fay this weekend on the Florida Roundtable. Stay with us.
Are you sure we should be driving this thing?
Well, it hasn't sunk yet.
Is that the best idea, though? You've been served an at-risk citation. At this point, it'll be easier to contact the Florida Vessel Turn-In Program, or VTIP, and get them to remove it for free. If you wait till it sinks, you have to pay a removal fee and maybe even a criminal fine.
I don't know.
Don't wait until it's too late. For more information, go to FloridaVTIP.com. That's FloridaVTIP.com.
There's a crash every 44 seconds in Florida, with 1 in 7 involving distracted drivers. That doesn't just mean using your phone. Distracted driving is anything that takes your hands off the wheel, eyes off the road, or mind off driving. Texting, applying makeup, eating, or even adjusting the radio. Florida wants you to just focus on your driving. Brought to you by the Florida Department of Highway Safety and Motor Vehicles.
Hello, I'm Hector Elizondo, Emmy Award-winning actor, and I want to talk to you about getting older. My body hurts, my joints ache, and sometimes I forget.
I forget that doing all your own scenes for a movie isn't always the best decision, especially when you're galloping side saddle down a countryside road on a horse named Archibello, who seems to have only one speed, high. And pulling on his reins only seems to encourage him to go even faster. So, of course, my body hurts and my joints ache, but it's not because of my age. It's because I'm living my life. Oh, Archibello!
Don't let life pass you by. Take care of your brain health. It may just help you stay on top of your game.
As soon as this scene wraps, I'm going to kiss the ground, thank Archibello for his outstanding performance, feed him a carrot, and visit brainhealth.gov.
Find out how you can make the most of your brain as you age at brainhealth.gov.
Bill Mick back with you with Dr. Charles Fay on the Florida Roundtable. And the book, I lost the title in front of me. Dr. Fay, the title of the book.
Raising Mentally Strong Kids.
I had it written down here and I didn't put the circle around it that I needed to find it. Nonetheless, you've been in practice about 30 years. Let's go back to when you got started. What were the challenges that kids and parents were facing then compared to what they're facing now? How different is the world you work in?
Well, it's dramatically different. Of course, you know, the internet, I mean, was not around, right?
That's true. And I didn't have a cell phone until 2000 or something, so yeah.
I know it. And things are dramatically different as a result. I mean, I grew up when, you know, we had a mobile phone when I was a kid. It had a 20-foot cord. Okay, that was our mobile phone.
You went
okay.
from the kitchen into the closet to talk to your friends.
That's exactly right. And so now kids have these supercomputers. We all have these supercomputers in our pockets, and that's created a lot of issues. One of the issues it's created is there's just a lot of noise out there for parents. There's just a lot of conflicting opinions about how to raise kids. And what Dr. Daniel and Eamon and I decided to do is go back to the research, the solid research on what do we know about good parenting. And it really comes down to doing two things. And this is really going to be encouraging to you parents, because you're going to say, I agree with that. That's common sense. Two things: being firm, right? And being caring at the same time. So if we can be firm and caring at the same time, we can have some pretty good success with our kids. So we want to start with that basis of truth that kids need us to be strong. They really do. They're desperate for leadership. They're desperate for boundaries. They need those guardrails. Otherwise, they're going to crash, right? And they don't feel safe unless they have those guardrails. And so we can take that to the bank. I mean, there's no debate about it. If anybody wants to debate with me about that, I'm not going to, because it's ridiculousness. Okay.
Yeah. Not that the kids won't challenge those boundaries, because they're going to. It's part of growing up.
That's what their job is.
Yeah.
You know, it's our job to provide those boundaries. It's their job to test them to see if we really mean business, right?
Sure.
And so, yeah, we're not going to get awards from our kids when they're young, you know, dad of the year, mom of the year, by saying no to this or that. But what we're going to get is a lot healthier and happier kid long term. So we know the kid need boundaries. Okay. Mm-hmm. They need to hear no. Right.
Sure.
And secondly, they need us to love them. They need us to be warm and kind and focus most of our energy on what they're doing well, their natural gifts. Right. They need that balance. And when, you know, listeners, you've met somebody, you had somebody in your life who was powerful and loving at the same time. When you were a kid, you had that coach or that parent or that teacher or that neighbor who was like that. And that person had a major impact on your life, and you copied their values.
Yeah,
you wanted to be like them.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
I can point to multiple basketball coaches in particular in my life that were as influential as my parents in an environment when my parents weren't always there. It was a great backup to what my parents did.
You bet. And that's something that's changed as well, is that, you know, we used to have a lot more help as parents, you know, because kids would go off and teachers felt a lot more secure in being able to be powerful and loving, and coaches did too. And so we ran into a lot of people like that who steered us in the right direction. And so that if I were to nail this whole book down into two things that were digestible, I'd say, parents, you know, you're going to make a lot of mistakes. We all do. I've made a lot of mistakes with my kids. I don't want to go into all that. Right. Okay.
None of us do.
But if you can love them with all your heart and step up to the plate and set those boundaries, you know, that's 95% of the battle right there.
That's interesting, because it seems daunting. It seems challenging, especially for young parents. And how many young parents are coming into the game not as well prepared by their parents for what they're going to face? That exacerbates the problem, too.
Right. And what we tend to do now is when we don't know what to do, who do we ask? Google, right?
Yeah. Not mom and dad anymore, right? Google.
Yeah. We go to Google and there's all sorts of good stuff, but all sorts of nonsense out there. And young parents get more and more confused. They need a foundational starting point. They need a plumb line. Mm-hmm. They need an anchor point. And those two basic principles, firm and caring at the same time, powerful and loving at the same time, those can be your anchor points. Those are the principles upon which you can base the rest of your parenting. Now, the book is it's a big book. There's a lot of information in there. Mm-hmm. But when you start with that, those core principles, it makes it easier because you have that foundational point to start with. You plug everything into those two principles.
I'm almost a little surprised. I was maybe expecting a more clinical discussion, but when you mention loving firmness as a family, how common is that you got to love your kids phrase in your world where you work? And maybe for you, yes. Are you unusual in the field is what I'm asking.
Well, you know, I can get all clinical on you. Uh-huh. You know, I can get all psychological and psychiatric, and we can talk about all the theories. I've never seen that help anybody.
Okay. Yeah. Practical okay. is far you better. Know, absolutely.
What people need are practical things. And so that's what the book is full of clinical information, and it's really great. And we enjoy writing it. I think it's valuable, but if we're not giving people those practical down to earth strategies, then they're going to walk away with good ideas, but not much stuff that they can actually do. So we can talk about these practical things as we go here.
Well, and that's the goal. See if we can get people to help themselves, help their kids, and we're all better off when we do that. Let's go back to the challenges that the kids faced. Your challenges and mine when we were kids, a little different than these kids are facing now. What's the impact of social media been with the apps, the websites, all the screen time they're facing? It's not just bad information that's out there. There are bad actors out there, and there might be other kids who are bullying these girls and to shaming them about their bodies or whatever it may be, and they become depressed. As you said, suicidal girls, that number's jumped increasingly. How big a challenge is that? And is there a corrective action that can help parents here in pointing their kids in the right direction with those limits?
Okay, the two things I see that come to mind first are anxiety and depression.
Okay.
I mean, that's really what we're seeing. Anxiety, fear, confusion, and also just deep, deep sadness. So those are the two things that we're seeing. And those spread out to a whole range of different problems, substance issues, problems with friends, bad decisions leading to legal problems. I mean, but we can nail it down to fear and sadness. Fear okay. and deep sadness. How is it going to get solved? It's going to get solved with relationship.
Okay.
That's how problems get solved with people. They get solved by relationship.
That makes sense. What's a parent's role in helping the kid develop that? Are you talking between the parent and the child or with the child and these other people?
Well, it starts between the parent and the child, and the kid can take that template, that example, and apply it to their relationships with other people, mm-hmm. right? That's what we do as parents. We give them the template, and then they can copy that moving forward into their life. Now, relationships, they come down to those two things I already mentioned, right? Lots of warmth, lots of love, lots of positivity, right? Mm-hmm. But we also want to be honest and set those strong boundaries with our kids. Now, here's an example. You know, with one of my sons, we were constantly having to set boundaries with this kid. I mean, he was constantly testing them. And one of the things I learned when I was very young is that we set limits by describing what we're going to do, what we can actually control, rather than trying to boss the kid around. So, mm-hmm. for example, instead of saying, watch your mouth, which I can't control their mouth.
Right.
Their mouth belongs to them, right? I can say, hey, I'm happy to do the extra things I do for you when I feel respected. And then when time comes up for baseball practice and I haven't been treated well, I'm sad for the kid. I say, well, that's a bummer. And looks like we're not going because I do extra things for people who treat me with respect.
Mm-hmm.
And that sets that boundary. It gives the example to the kid that the way you set limits is by controlling your own behavior. Parents, let's take a breath here. how do we really set limits with kids? We set limits on our own behavior. That's something that we can control. So, for example, I have a toddler who won't leave the house. Am I going to be yelling, hurry up? How effective is that?
Mm-hmm.
Or might I say, hey, my car is leaving at, you know, when the timer goes off on my phone, are you going to be coming with me with your clothes on your body or your clothes in a bag, right? And as soon as that timer goes off, I have picked up the little kid. They're in the car. We're driving along. Now they're in the back seat and they're not happy. But I've set a boundary that says, hey, I love you enough to take charge of the situation when I really need to, in a loving way. And so parents, keep that in mind. With a teenager, you know, drive safely is a nice thing to say, right? Mm-hmm. Just an example. But can I control how they're driving when I'm not around them?
Sure. No.
No. So, but I can say, hey, I allow, you know, use of the car when I see that you're following the rules around the house.
Mm-hmm.
Right? See, I can control that, right? That's one of the most fundamentally important parts of parenting, and that is we set limits using our own behavior, our own actions, and then we can actually follow through.
I would think another factor in that is sticking to them when you put the limits in play, not backing off when somebody tries to wear you down, which might be your spouse or it might be the kid.
Yeah. Oh, it's so easy to set limits, really. It really is. It's really easy to set them, but to really enforce them, that's a whole other
deal. Yeah.
But, you know, if you want to raise a kid who has trouble, back down your limits.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, if you want to have any relationships that have problems, back down on your limits.
I can see where that would be a big factor. Similar stories with my kids as well. My middle child would challenge everything, and he had to learn every lesson the hard way. And it's about developing the relationship so he knows you're following through with what you said. Sometimes he couldn't help himself from going on with it, but if you sure. followed through, he got the message. It might have been a little longer delivery than we wanted.
Right. Now, here's the other piece. I'm watching this same kid, this one that pushes limits so much. He's playing with one of his friends, and his friend is being rough with his toys. Okay, now he doesn't know I'm watching. I see my son say to this kid, as he's picking up the toys, I'll play with you, and you can use my toys when you're being nice to them.
Ooh, he says that to another kid. Dad, I like it.
Right.
Job well done. So we've got to pause here for a minute, but sure. I want to come back to this, and we've got more on this edition of the Florida Roundtable with Dr. Charles Fay and making our kids what we need them to be.
This boating season, the Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission wants to remind you to wear your life jacket. You make a difference in the life of your family. As a parent, it's your job to keep your kids safe and be there for them. You do it at home, at school, and you need to do it on the water as well. Always wear your life jacket and have your children wear theirs too. It's a basic step that saves lives. Life jackets save lives. Wear it, Florida. Visit myfwc.com for more information. That's myfwc.com.
Parents of Florida, you are not alone in your parenting journey. April is Child Abuse Prevention Month. In challenging moments, it's brave to ask for help. Prevent Child Abuse Florida and partners across the state are ready to support you with resources and programs right in your community. The state of Florida invests in you because every parent deserves support and every child deserves a loving home. Visit PreventChildAbuseFL.org.
Hi, I'm Johnny Erickson Tata. Growing up with a brother with autism, Sarah Cronk witnessed firsthand how kids with disabilities felt left out by their peers. It's why at the age of 15, Sarah approached her cheerleading coach with an idea to include girls with disabilities on her school's cheer team. Well, what started out as an inclusive high school cheer team in a small town in Iowa has led to what is now known as Sparkle Effect, a thriving nonprofit with over 180 cheer teams across the United States, bringing students with and without disabilities together through cheerleading. The result? More confidence, higher grades, and better school attendance for kids with disabilities. And for those without a disability, new friends and a greater empathy. You want to learn more? Well, visit disabilitycampaign.org, where we have posted a link to to the fabulous work known as the Sparkle Effect.
We're here early before they wake up. We stay late, we stay informed, we invest in the latest technology.
We take the time to train the next generation of doctors and nurses. We work together to make sure we heal their bodies and their minds.
We do this not because it's our job, but because this is about our veterans' lives. This is our mission. More than 300,000 of us working as one, together with families and loved ones. No matter where they live in this country, we'll be there.
We all come together and stand together to serve our veterans. We stand strong, united. Stand with us in caring for our veterans.
Imagine. Imagine being denied an apartment because of your religion, or your race, or because you have children, or a disability.
It's so wrong.
Yes, but who has the power to stop this?
You do. Each of us has the power. The law is on your side. It's illegal for landlords to discriminate because of race, color, religion, sex, national origin, disability, or familial status. If you suspect that you have experienced housing discrimination, file a complaint with HUD immediately so we can investigate it. Fair housing is your right.
Use it.
To learn more, visit hud.gov/fairhousing. That's hud.gov/fairhousing. Or call 1-800-669-9777. 1-800-669-9777. A public service message from HUD in partnership with the National Fair Housing Alliance.
Back on the roundtable with Dr. Charles Fay, the book is Raising Mentally Strong Kids. A lot more to it than just mental strength. It's examples set by parents and boundaries and limits and having these kids come out to be the responsible adults that we all want our children to be. Dr. Fay, again, thanks for taking the time. I appreciate the conversation today. We were talking about technology earlier, and parents aren't always with kids when they're using these devices. We want our kids to have these devices for safety, for emergencies, whatever it may be, but they're also available to be used for many other things. What are the limits you're seeing that work for parents and kids of these things?
Well, I believe that everything revolves around relationship, and what we've had great success with is teaching parents to say, hey, I allow use of these devices in the home as long as it's not damaging our relationship. Because I love you. I mean, that's the most important thing, is our relationship. Mm-hmm. And so when the kid is on it and they're not participating in the family, you know, right? I can say to the kid, hey, is that helping or hurting the relationship? Mm-hmm. No, it's fine, Dad. That's what they'll say, right? And you know,
I was looking for a gift for you.
Yeah, right. And I know it's a really old-fashioned concept here, but, you know, some of the old-fashioned concepts are really, really good. Mm-hmm. Okay, let's be clear here. And so, you know, the basic idea here is that the kid needs to really believe that the parent giveth and the parent can taketh away. I mean, it really is important for them to know that they are not entitled to these devices. Now, as you said, we want them to have them, right? Mm-hmm. But we need to have some good boundaries over those. And so another clear boundary is I need to know that you're safe, and I don't feel like you're safe when those devices are in your room and you're using them in your room unsupervised. So I allow use of those devices as long as you're complying with the rule that they are not in your room with the door shut. I mean, how many of us would invite a stranger over to our house and then send them in our kid's room alone with our kid?
Yeah, that's true.
And that's what we're doing with the devices.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and so that has to be a very strong limit, right? Another limit that we believe in setting is that, you know, I need to know what's going on your phone. Now, you could always get sneaky with me, right? You could always get sneaky. You could always find a way to hide what you're really doing. But if you got yourself in trouble, would I be able to help you if I didn't know what you were doing?
Mm-hmm.
Just a thought. Now, I like to plant that seed in the kid's mind. Would I be able to help you if you got in the habit of being sneaky and I didn't know what was going on in your life? Now, there's so many things that we cannot control about our kids, but what we can control is us showing them that we care enough to be involved in their lives, mm-hmm. and to do our best to be intrusive. Parents really need to be intrusive. They need to be searching their kids' rooms. They need to be doing heavy cleaning in the kids' rooms, right? They need to be involved in the kid's life, because what that says to the kid is, I love you enough to be involved. And I have to say, so many parents have said to me, it's the strangest thing. It's almost like my kids want me to find out that they're involved in something not so healthy. It's almost like, why would they leave this item out? Mm-hmm. One mom said, she said, I found a vaping device. I'm like, why did the kid leave it right there where I could find it? Subconsciously, kids want us to know what's going on in their lives. And when we don't take the initiative to be intrusive, when we back down to their complaints about that, what it says to them is, we don't care. Too many parents are afraid to really get into their kids' life and be involved like that.
Is part of that too many parents wanting to buddy up with their kids as opposed to parent them?
Well, I have to say, there have been so many books written over the last 30 years of my career, and they're all basically the same style message, and that is, you know, don't say no. Don't ever raise your voice. Don't ever make your kids uncomfortable. Always make sure that you're gentle and kind. But the part that's missing is the sense of loving authority in the kid's life. And so, yeah, there's a lot of parents who've been misled into believing that being friends with their kids really effective. And we know from solid research that when kids are raised by a permissive style of parenting, they are unhappy. These are the kids that have the depression and anxiety, the kids who are raised by the parents who try to be the kid's friend.
Mm-hmm. Seems like in our day, that started with Dr. Spock, and we'd have been better off being raised by Mr. Spock.
Yeah. You know, sometimes we as doctors stumble over ourselves because we get so clinical over the issues. And so in our book, we wanted to integrate the good, solid research on parenting, but also go back to what really works on a practical level. And that is, parents, don't be so afraid of making mistakes that you don't raise your kids.
Well,
there's so many parents.
Go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead. No, there's so many parents that are so afraid of making a mistake or two with their kids that they end up not raising their kids.
Well, and we've made our mistakes. We've learned from them, yeah. We hope. We try to share those lessons with our kids. But our kids are going to have their struggles. And I think their struggles come at times a lot younger than it did for us in many circumstances.
Oh, that is absolutely right. That is absolutely right. And so, you know, one of the key parts of the love and logic approach and what's in the book is us hoping and praying every day that our kids make lots of mistakes. We're on the subject of mistakes. And see, how do people really learn life's most important lessons?
By making those mistakes and not repeating
them. By making those mistakes. See, and one of the most common trends in parenting we've seen is parents are so afraid of allowing their kids to make mistakes that their kids don't learn about cause and effect until the stakes are a lot higher and those mistakes are life and death. So parents, here's an action step you can take. Start writing out the specific mistakes you want your kids to make today so they can learn. Forget their lunch, okay, and be hungry at school for a while. Not study for a test and get a poor grade in the fifth grade. All those little mistakes, absolutely the most precious learning opportunities available.
That makes some sense as well. Junior high, middle school years seem to be especially challenging. Kids have a lot of things going on socially, physically, and they're trying to deal with all of that. That's got to be a tough time.
That's a really tough time. What makes it easier is when we as parents really focus on what we call the consultant style of parenting. Now, let's talk about that a bit.
Okay.
Now, there's the helicopter style, and that's the rescuing. You know, anytime the kid gets in a problem, we bail them out of the poor decision. Horrible style. Then there's the drill sergeant style, where we try to micromanage everything that our kids do. Can you imagine how bad that blows up with
my kids teenagers? Could, since their dad was a cop for most of his real career. Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, there are times where we want to be drill sergeants and times when we want to be helicopters. But the consultant style goes something like this. You know, you look at the kid and they say something like this to you. They come home and they say, well, I don't see what the big deal is with smoking pot. I mean, it's great. Everybody does it. You know, it's such a great thing. Right. And they say things like that to you, or you start getting really anxious about things like that. And you realize, wait a second, I cannot control what the kid does when they're not around me. That's a scary thing.
Mm-hmm.
But here's what you can control. You look at the kid and you say, oh, that's a really interesting thought. Yeah, wouldn't work for me. Yeah, I'd be concerned that, I'd start having a lot more depression and anxiety and end up having a lot of other problems in my life, having to do with the law and things like that as a result of doing that. But who needs to decide whether you have a good life or a lot harder one? You do. Right? And we're gradually handing responsibility back to the kid in their mind for their own life. Oh, wouldn't work for me. I'd be worried that such and such would happen. And see, so much of parenting kids of that age, and they're going out and living life without us much of the time, is planting those little seeds of thought in their mind. Oh, it wouldn't work for me.
Do you find they're generally responsive there? Is that something that does spur the thought? Will they contemplate it, even if they're being defiant at the moment?
Yeah. As long as we don't ruin our relationship with them. As long as we don't start trying to control what we can't. So as soon as we start saying, you're not going to smoke pot, you're not going to do this, you're not going to sleep around, as soon as we start saying those things, well, friends, what do we know about human nature? How do most people respond when somebody gets all tough and says, you're not going to do such
and such? Negatively. And we explore it some more with some tips when we continue in a moment.
It'll never happen to me. I'll never need help. That's what every boater thinks. But then one day, you do need help. And you have no way of getting it because you thought having an emergency locator beacon was unnecessary. You're wrong. Emergency locator beacons are effective, affordable, and they save lives. Seriously. If not for you, do it for them.
Learn more about emergency locator beacons at myfwc.com. Brought to you by the Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select AK System battery tool sets. Real Steel. Find yours at steeldealers.com. Offer valid on select AK system sets for a limited time only while supplies last. See participating dealer for details.
Looking for cheap flights or cheap tickets? Call the low-cost airline travel hotline now for prices so low, we can't publish them anywhere. We'll even save you money with cheap travel deals on hotels, rental cars, even complete travel packages. Call us first for the absolute cheapest prices on U.S. and international airline tickets and hotels.
802-341-4542. 802-341-4542. That's 802-341-4542.
Last time on The Bold and the Blueberries.
Nancy, how could you?
I don't know what you mean.
My blueberries, Nancy. You ate all my Florida blueberries.
Oh, we can get more, Nick. Florida blueberries are in season. I can help you look for the Fresh from Florida logo where we shop.
No. From now on, I shop for Florida blueberries alone.
For dramatically delicious blueberries, choose fresh from Florida. There's sunshine in every bite.
Back on the Florida Roundtable, Bill Mick with Dr. Charles Fay, as we take a look at raising mentally strong kids. A lot of aspects to this, Dr. Fay, and you mentioned love and logic a moment ago. Give me an idea what the combination of the two is and how you envision this for parents.
Well, Love and Logic is the name of our business. It's been a business for almost 50 years. My father started with Dr. Foster Klein. But the love part of it is this. We love our kids enough to set limits. We love our kids enough to hold them accountable for their poor decisions. We love them enough to teach them how to solve the problems that they face rather than bailing them out of all those problems.
Okay.
Now, the logic is not what we do. The logic is what starts to grow inside of their brain as a result of the love. The logic is basically this mindset that the kid has. Wow, every decision, every choice that I make has a consequence. I wonder how this next decision I'm about to make is going to impact my life and the lives of other people. Let's see, when we can provide that love, that's what we do. The logic grows inside of their head. That's what they do.
All right. Is there a physical element of this? I mean, their body's going through changes. What about their brain development? I've been told a kid's brain will be developed until in their 20s.
Right. And so Dr. Daniel Amen, absolute genius. I mean, he has done actual brain scans of thousands and thousands and thousands of brains. Been able to look at how the brain develops, how it's impacted by different aspects of life, right? And what we're seeing here is that really good parenting has to involve brain health. That means diet, okay? It means the kids getting enough sleep. It means kids protecting their brains by wearing helmets when they're out doing things like riding their bike. That's important. Now, I grew up not doing that. I think I would have a lot fewer problems if I actually didn't have as many head impacts as I did when I was a kid. I mean, that has a big impact there. Mm-hmm. So it just makes sense that we would do that, right? We would take care of their brain, teach them how to do that. What I find really fascinating is that our thought life has a direct impact on the health of our brain. The battle within our mind has a huge impact on the health of the actual physical organ, right? What does that mean? Well, we talk a lot about mental hygiene in the book, and that is that we identify the thinking patterns. We start with ourselves as parents. What am I thinking about? What am I dwelling on? And I ask myself, is that really true? Is that thought really true? Is that an accurate thought, right? Mm-hmm. And if it's not, I need to replace that with something that is more accurate. We're not talking about positive thinking where it's all pie in the sky stuff. We're talking about accurate thinking. So an example might be, there's nothing I can do to raise good kids. You know, things are just too hard these days. There's too many negative impacts. There's too much going on in society. You know, I don't really have any control over this. Is that an accurate thought? No,
not
it's
at all.
Not.
Yeah.
No. And that's going to diminish the health of our brain chemistry. So I need to pick a different thought. And that different thought might be, yeah, it's really hard. And that's why it's even more important for me to set strong limits and love my kids enough to stick with those. See, and when I start being responsible about my own thought life, I start feeling healthier. And here's the good news. It rubs off on the kids.
Well, that is excellent. And I've thought throughout the discussion that maybe unspoken here is an undercurrent of, does a faith life have something to do with this? Those who, and I'm not talking particular denominations, but parents who have their kids involved in some kind of church, synagogue, whatever it may be, given a foundation here and that thought life being a part of that.
Oh, absolutely. There is no doubt that faith is absolutely essential. It gives us hope. It also helps us remain humble because we realize that we aren't in control, right? There's mm-hmm. something a whole lot bigger going on mm-hmm. than us. And it's really our job to remain humble, right? And to keep learning. And so when we can do that, life is way better. I mean, trying to rule the universe as a human being.
Pretty tough.
Anybody
game.
Who's tried, there's people who've tried that and it always crashes for them.
Yeah, that's very true. And I've also tried to convince my kids as they were growing up, there is something bigger than you. You're here to do something more important than just make your little self happy. So having those goals, I think, for whatever their life or career may be, has got to be a factor too.
Yeah, having purpose is so important. We know that purpose actually improves brain chemistry. When I have a purpose, and a purpose is, how do
I've
I...
I've got to wrap it up, but we'll go come right back to that when we continue.
Yeah.
Did you know that a car crash occurs every 44 seconds in Florida? And 1 in 7 crashes involve distracted drivers? April is National Distracted Driving Awareness Month, and the Florida Department of Highway Safety and Motor Vehicles reminds you that distraction includes texting, putting on makeup, eating, attending to passengers, and more. Don't drive distracted, Florida. Brought to you by the Florida Department of Highway Safety and Motor Vehicles.
If your king or queen sago palms have been invaded by Asian cycad scale, it's time to fight back with organic Summit Year-Round Spray Oil. It kills Asian cycad scale and other insect pests. But Summit Year-Round Spray Oil contains no chemical toxins. Insects don't build up a resistance to this horticultural oil, so it keeps working every time you spray. Summit Year-Round Spray Oil is available at fine garden centers and at SummitResponsibleSolutions.com.
Do you owe the IRS $10,000 or more in back taxes? Are you being audited or investigated? Has the IRS sent you a letter demanding payment? You may not owe what they claim. Make this free call to the Tax Doctor now. Let them negotiate with the IRS on your behalf.
800-240-4587. 800-240-4587. That's 800-240-4587.
Deep in the heart of Florida's wilderness lie unimaginable sights. Behold.
It's time to discover the wild side of Florida again. Florida Wild Quest is a free, fun, and family-friendly scavenger hunt. Grab your phone for this 10-day event all across the state. Explore the great outdoors and complete missions for your chance to win prizes. Florida Wild Quest takes place April 27th to May 5th. For more info, visit FloridaWildQuest.com. That's FloridaWildQuest.com.
Shortness of breath, patient's confused, temp 102.
He just had an infection. What's going on?
He's becoming septic.
Antibiotics started. Bed ready, let's move him.
Infections can lead to a deadly chain reaction in your body called sepsis. Very quickly, sepsis can cause tissue damage, organ failure, and even death. If you know the risks, can spot the symptoms, and act fast, then you can get ahead of sepsis. Learn more at cdc.gov/sepsis.
My muscles ached. I was tired all the time.
My son had a full-blown asthma attack. It came out of nowhere.
The unsettling thing about some symptoms is
I had a fever and these terrible headaches.
You don't always know what's causing them.
It was Lyme disease from a tick bite.
I had Zika virus from a mosquito.
He had a reaction to cockroach allergens.
Threats to your health can come from unexpected places. Get the facts. Visit pestworld.org. A public service message from the National Pest Management Association.
An hour that's gone by way too quickly. Dr. Charles Fay with us as we're talking about most important things in our lives, our kids, and helping them be happy, healthy, well-adjusted kids, and therefore adults. We were talking about kids having a purpose, Dr. Fay, and you were saying how important that is.
Oh, it's everything. Us as adults having a purpose. And one way that we give that to our kids is get them involved in serving the family in the form of doing chores without reminders and without pay. Kids need to do chores. We call them contributions to the family. We want to communicate to the kid that you're important and needed. You're part of this team. kids who do chores do better in school. They do better in life. That's been documented in research study after research study. In the book, we give you some very practical ways of getting that done. But people have purpose or happier. That's for sure.
Yeah. And again, with a goal in mind, something to work towards, something to achieve, being a contributor to somebody's success or maybe to a group success. That's got to be huge. That's why I love team sports.
That's right. Yeah, we are wired to need to participate for the betterment of a team. And when we don't have that need met, we see all sorts of negative results, lots of depression, even health problems. We see older people, when they lose their sense of purpose, they go downhill right away.
As you end up talking to kids or parents in your practice, or as you look at these situations and you look back at raising mentally strong kids, where are you going to point them to in the book to say, this is what you need with your kid? This is the main concern that's going to get you started on the path.
Well, I would say parents, pick up that book and start looking for how you can take really good care of yourself. That's a big part of the book, is how do you take really good care of yourself as a parent so that you can have joy, so that you can feel strong, so you can have a sense of purpose and see, yeah, man, raising great kids, this is making the world a better place. See, if you can read the book from that perspective, how can I take good care of myself? Success is practically guaranteed, because again, kids take their emotional cues, their behavioral cues, their character cues from the adults around them. It rubs off on the kids. You know, parenting is more about the walk than it is about the talk.
Being the positive example.
Exactly.
Tell folks where they're able to find Raising Mentally Strong Kids.
Well, you can find this book just about anywhere where you buy books. You can learn more about Love and Logic. Go to loveandlogic.com. Check out my friend, Dr. Daniel Amen, the co-author, danielamenmd.com.
All right. Very good. Dr. Charles Fay, it's been a quick hour. I appreciate the information. And I'm sure that through your practice and what you've put into play here, that you've seen a lot of success with families and a lot of successful kids that have gone on and just done great things.
That's right. Yeah. Parents, you could do this. This is definitely within your grasp. You can do it.
That's great to hear, and I'm sure it's encouraging to a lot of folks. Do you find that maybe the agencies that are around, various government agencies, do they tend to be helpful for those folks who maybe are having financial inability to do a lot of these things that are helping in that regard?
Yeah. And what you look for, if you're looking for somebody to help you, make sure that you look for somebody who's going to empower you, not do it for you.
Okay? That's a good
because
way to go.
You're the one who has to do it, and you're the one who can do it.
Raising Mentally Strong Kids, Dr. Charles Fay, Dr. Daniel Amen. Dr. Fay, thanks again. It's been a great hour, and I appreciate it. And good luck with everybody and your kids. We want to see them grow up and be great.
Yeah, that's right. Thank you so much.
We'll see you again soon.
You've been listening to the Florida Roundtable with Bill Mick, a news and public affairs presentation of the Florida News Network. The views and opinions expressed during this program are those of the participants and do not necessarily reflect the views of this station management, owners, or sponsors. For questions or concerns, contact Florida Roundtable at fnnonline.net.